Hallelujah. We know that today is the day that we celebrate our Lord and Savior rising because we know that He lives. And how do we know that He lives? Because He is living within each and every one of our hearts. I serve a risen Savior. hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer, and just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. Oh, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He within my heart. Thank you. Whoa.
Come on, if you know he lives, if you're a witness that he lives, look at somebody and tell them, I'm a witness. I know he lives. I'm a witness. I wasn't there. I didn't live in Bible times, but I'm a witness. How do you know you're a witness? Because he lives. down on the inside. That's how I know. That's how I'm qualified as a witness. What? Yeah, I know. I know he lives. I know he lives. Too many Saturday nights, he lives. Too many Monday mornings, it was just me and Jesus. That's how I know. I quit. Do what you want to do. I know he lives because he lives within my heart. It feels like Resurrection Sunday. Feels like he lives in your hearts. Let me take advantage of your standing. Let's open our Bibles. Let's go to the Word of God. You have your Bibles. We're going to be in the Gospel of St. Mark on this morning, the 16th chapter. The Gospel of St. Mark, the 16th chapter. We're also going to add to the witness in the New Testament out of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. Amen. If you need a Bible, feel free to slip your hand up in the air. Our ushers will get you a Bible for your reading, if you have your own or electronic version. Again, Mark 16, beginning at verse 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. While you're gathering yourself and getting there, thank God we're allowing more and more people in. I just want to give my heartfelt appreciation to the women of Taylor Tabernacle. Come on, fellas, we're already standing. Let's give them a standing ovation. Did they pull it off this month? They pulled it off in grand fashion. Thank God for the women of Worth. Amen. They did it big. And now the pressure is on the brothers. We got 2 months to come up with something. I don't know what, but we got to come up with something. But thank God for the women's ministry and all that's taking place over this month. And I also, really, from a pastoral perspective, I'm thankful for the women and the great job they did, because it gave me a month off, a month with no preaching, a month with no teaching, and just allow me to refresh and get myself back together again. So look, we might have Women Month next month. we might double down, as they say. But no, thank God for all of you. And thank God for our young women on yesterday, the boards and what was it? Brunch and boards, prayer and power and blessings and all that. Thank God for them. Thank God for the Scott girls. Thank God for Sister Christina Rook. Thank for all those young ladies. They pulled it off. I heard it was a real, real fantastic time. Amen? Great. Let's turn our attention to the Word of God. If you're there at Mark chapter 16, what I'm going to do, I'm going to back you up just a little bit, and I want to read from the 15th chapter, verses 40 and 41, which is going to add to the witness, then Mark 16, then 1 Thessalonians 4. Okay? So you should be at Mark 16 and 1, right? If you got it, say, I got it. Great. So what I want to do, I'm going to back you up just a few verses. I'm going to read Mark 15, verses 40 and 41. Then I'm going to drop down 16 and 1. And then 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Amen? And I just want to lay this foundation, because the sermon is quick, but it's going to take time to lay this foundation. So that's why we got to cover some ground. Amen? 15 and 40, right? Mark. There were also women looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James the Less and of Joseph, and Salome, who also followed him and ministered to him when he was in Galilee, and many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. Amen? 16 and 1. Now, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. They said among themselves, "Who will roll the stone away from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. Entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you." So they went out quickly, fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Amen? Now let's just add to the witness out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again," raise your hand if you believe that. If you believe that, this is for you then. "Even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep." You with me? "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus, we shall always be with the Lord." Verse 18, "Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Amen. This morning, this Easter Sunday, I'm just going to preach from the subject, Women of the Resurrection. Amen. As we close out Women's History Month and celebrate women around the world, especially those that are in and of like precious faith. This Sunday morning, we're going to talk about women of the resurrection. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed and holy is thy name. We thank you for this, another Lord's Sunday morning. We thank you for the opportunity to celebrate the resurrection of our living Lord. We realize that for the believer, Easter is every Sunday. we celebrate and thank you for raising up your son out of the grave, giving him the victory that you promised, and giving to us as believers the hope that we have that one day we too shall be risen from the dead and meet our Savior in the air. Holy Spirit, sanctify your word into our hearts. Cause its truth to permeate every part of our being. And cause us to be encouraged by the life-giving power of the gospel message. This is our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. All of God's people say amen. Amen. Amen again. You may be seated all over the church. God bless you, those in the vestibule. Have an opportunity to come in. Now, I need you to keep your Bibles out because I'm going to run you around real quick. Okay, keep your Bibles out. I'm going to run you around quickly. I want to start you by going to the Old Testament, to the book of Daniel, chapter 12 and verse 2. There, Daniel 12, 2, it summarizes two very different fates facing mankind. There it says, many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Everyone will be raised from the dead, but not everyone will share the same destiny. Are you with me? Everyone will be raised from the dead, but not everyone will share the same destiny. It is in the New Testament that we find further details regarding the separate resurrections for the just and unjust. All right? Are you with me? Now, when we get into the New Testament, we go to Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. When we read verse 4 and down to verse 5, it mentions a first resurrection. Right? I'm giving you the verses so you can go and verify it for yourself. Revelation 20, 4 through 6. There it mentions the first resurrection and identifies those that are involved in the first resurrection as blessed and holy. Okay? There, the second death, or what you may have heard in previous settings, the lake of fire, has no power over these individuals. Right? In the first resurrection. Therefore, the first resurrection, this is it, you got to get this. The first resurrection is the raising of all who believe in Jesus Christ and have accepted him as their personal Savior. Are you with me? If you got it, say, I got it. The first resurrection will only include those who believe in Jesus Christ and have accepted him as their personal Lord and Savior. If you got it, say, I got it. Okay. The first resurrection takes place in various stages. Jesus Christ himself, which we see in 1 Corinthians 15, 20, is called the first fruit of the first resurrection. It is through his resurrection that he paved the way for the resurrection of all who believe in him. If you have your Bibles, go to it. 1 Corinthians 15 and 20. It says, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. It's just a biblical way of saying those who have died, right? He is the first fruit of all the dead. For since by man came death, by man also has come the resurrection of the dead. All right? And so Jesus Christ is the first fruit of the resurrection, right? This is when, if you know the resurrection story, this is why he tells Mary Magdalene, don't touch me, right? He wasn't trying to be curt. He wasn't trying to be off-putting. But what he was trying to help her theology and to understand God's plan for resurrection and salvation. He said, you can't touch me because I am the first fruit of the resurrection. If you know anything, this is why I told you on Thursday night. Shame on you if you wasn't here on Thursday night for the Passover. I told you that Christianity is born out of Judaism. And it is in Judaism that we understand the importance of sacrifices, right? Every time you turn, they another offering, another sacrifice, right? And one thing you learn about the offering when you study the sacrifices, when you study the Old Testament, is that the offering, whatever you brought to God, had to be pure and holy. It had to be the best of what you had, and it had to be the first of what you had. So before you and your kids ate, you brought a sacrifice to the house of God. You brought something to the tabernacle, and you presented that to God first, right? And that's why it's called a first fruits offering, right? Couple weeks, we're going to plant our garden. When the Israelites would plant, when the first of the harvest came up, they took everything and gave it to God. They took it down to the temple, to the tent. They said, no, we give all of this to God. It's the first fruits of the harvest. It's holy and it's unto God. And in like manner, Jesus Christ is what? The first fruits of the resurrection. Are you with me? Now, there will be resurrection of the dead and of Christ when the Lord returns, right? That's what we have in the witness, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, right? The Lord himself will descend, a shout, the trumpet of the archangel, and all, then the dead in Christ will rise. So Christ is the first fruit, right? Then all those who have died believing in him, when he comes again for the rapture of the church, the dead shall rise first. Right? So you got Christ's first fruits. Now you're getting, here comes the harvest. The harvest of all of those who have died believing in him. They're going to go up next. Revelations 20 and 12, helps us. Now we transition. That's the first resurrection. Now the second resurrection, right? This is Revelations 20 and 12. It identifies those comprising the second resurrection as the wicked judged by God at the great white throne judgment, right? How many have ever heard of that, the great white throne judgment, right? All that is saying is that will be the judgment for all of those who do not believe in Jesus, right? You with me? Is it okay to learn something while you're in church, right? First resurrection, those that believe in Jesus. Second resurrection, those that do not believe in Jesus. The second resurrection is the raising of all unbelievers. The second resurrection is connected to the second death. It's connected to the lake of fire. And is what Jesus spoke about in John 5:29. When he spoke about the resurrection of damnation. Are you with me? You let me know if this is too heavy for a Sunday morning. If it's too much, I'll stop. Resurrection. What? We're all going to be raised. Right? Everyone's coming up. But when we are raised from the dead, you'll either go up in the first resurrection, to which the scripture says you're blessed and holy. Or you will be caught up in the second resurrection, which is the resurrection of damnation, because that resurrection is going to experience the wrath of God. Are you with me this Sunday morning? Now to my sermon. That's all foundation. You just, if you didn't know that, you needed to know it. Now I can preach the sermon, right? I want to talk to you this morning about the women of the resurrection, right? And I'm going to give you the notes right up front. Here it is. The women of the resurrection all have three unique characteristics about them, right? Women of the resurrection are faithful. Women of the resurrection serve the body of Christ. And then lastly, women of the resurrection, they share the gospel. Okay? The women of the resurrection. And if you didn't get it, I'm referring to the first resurrection. Okay? So I added that tidbit before we got into the text out of Mark 15, 40 and 41. And it said there that these women, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Les, and so on. It said in verse 41, they followed him and ministered to him when he was in Galilee, and many other women came up with him to Jerusalem. Okay? So let me dispel this myth, in case you're carrying it. Women were involved in the ministry of Jesus Christ from the very beginning. Now, the witness only records the calling of Matthew and the calling of Peter and James. We recall the calling of Luke, but there were women at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and most importantly, there were women at the very end. Are you with me? This 15, 40, and 41 is the conclusion of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And there at the death of our Savior, which this mural predicts, there are no men save one. Peter was not there. James was not there. Andrew was not there. But who was there? Women of the resurrection. Mary Magdalene was there. These women demonstrated that if you want to be a part of the first resurrection, you must be faithful to the end. Am I here tonight? Not faithful just for a couple of days, not faithful for a couple of Sundays, but women of the resurrection are faithful to the end, right? Because the race is what? It's not given to the strong, nor to the swift, but the race is given to who? He that what? Endures to what? The end. Look at someone and say, will you be faithful? Will you stick it out to the very end? Or are you a fair weather friend? Jesus said this, so many people followed me, but they followed me for what? For the fishes and loaves. They were fair weather friends. As long as it was good, going good and getting better, I had a crowd. But when it came to giving up my life, as a sign that you were going to have to give up your life. If you got it, say, I got it. Got to be faithful. This is what I love here. It says in 41, they followed him and they ministered to him. Women of the resurrection serve the body of Christ. They serve the body of Christ. What a great joy it was on Thursday night as we celebrated the Passover Seder. And I was blessed not only by what took place during the Seder, I was actually blessed more by what took place after the Seder. When the Seder was over and the musicians started playing, everybody in the church went to work. Do I got a witness here? I mean, nobody sat down. Even our friends from me, they started working. Everybody, and we turned this place upside down in a matter of minutes. Why? Because everybody got busy serving the body of Christ. We had a crew on the first floor. We had a crew on the third floor. And everybody was working. If you're going to be a part of the first resurrection, you got to commit your life to serving the body of Christ. Jesus Christ gives this own testimony himself. He said, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Woe be unto you if you don't have a servant's attitude. If you don't have a servant's attitude, it could be a sign that you're not part of the first resurrection. Because the women of the resurrection, they're faithful to the end. Women of the resurrection, they commit their life to serving the body of Christ. Last, women of the resurrection, they share the gospel. Look what the angel tells them. Chapter 16, verse 7. This is what the angel said. Once he tried to get them over their shock and all, he says, this is what I want you to do. He said, go tell his disciples, specifically Peter. Look at somebody and say, I thank God for Peter. I thank God for Peter, my testimony, because I am Peter. If you study that out, you'll soon find out you're Peter too. Peter quit. Jesus' number one guy threw in the towel. Said, I'm out. He said, Jesus, I'm not built for this. And he walked away. Jesus could have left him out. But he got the women of the resurrection. He said, go tell the boys and especially Peter. One day that verse will mean something to you. Because when the world gives up on you, Jesus says, no, make sure you go tell specifically Peter. He's given up on me, but I have not given up. Come on, church, you know how it goes. He said, I want you to go and tell them and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee, and there you will see him as he said to you. Women of the resurrection share the gospel. And the gospel is simply what Sister Reed sang this morning, is that Jesus Christ lives. If anyone asks you, how do you know he lives? Your testimony kicks in now and says, because he lives inside of me. That's what the women of the resurrection do. They're faithful till the end. They serve the body of Christ. And they share the gospel message by telling everybody, he is risen. He's not in the tomb. Don't go there like we did. He's not there. But he is risen as he said. And today he lives within my heart. Are you with me this Sunday morning? So in conclusion, if you're faithful to the end, if you serve the body of Christ, and if you're willing to share the gospel message and to tell your testimony like many of you did on last Sunday, then you will be a woman who participates in the first resurrection. Revelations 26 says this, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, shall reign with him for 1,000 years. Now, I know Mary Magdalene was there because we got the witness. The witness tells us that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was also there. And Mary, the mother of James and John, was also there. And they mentioned that Salome was also there. And they were a part of that actual resurrection of Jesus Christ. The scripture also tells us that there were many other women who came up, nameless women, women who were not identified by the gospel writers. And they were also there at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And now through the teaching of the word of God, we know that they will also be a part of what? The first resurrection. But to add to the story, this is my faith talking now. I also believe that as a part of the first resurrection, I believe our founding pastor, Dr. Carrie Taylor, will be a part of that resurrection. This is my faith talking. I don't know what you believe, but I believe that her companion in faith, Elder Celeste Williams, will also be in that first resurrection. Right? Let me bring it close. I believe that Mother Florence Butler will also be a part of the first resurrection, right? Let me get close to home. This is my faith talking. I believe that the matriarch will be a part of the first resurrection. Try this one on for size. This is my faith talking. But I believe that Sister Anita Macy shall be a part. You hear what I say, Melissa? She's gonna be a part of the first resurrection. Why do you say it, Pastor? She was faithful till the end. She served and loved the body of Christ. She's going to be in the first resurrection because she told everybody. God, help me. Help me. Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. This is my faith talking. I believe that Mother Barbara Rook, I wish I had a witness, shall be a part of the first resurrection. Now, I won't get a chance to eulogize her on tomorrow. So I'm going to eulogize this Sunday morning. And if I have to sum up the record, I would say it like this. Mother Rook was faithful till the end. Mother Rook served the body of Christ. And if you ever called her, you know for a fact she would always tell you about Jesus. I believe she will be a woman in the first resurrection. Somebody in the church shout yes. And if you, like these women and others, remain faithful, love and serve the body of Christ, and share the gospel message, then this is the word of God to you. Then we who are alive and remain, right? You and I shall be caught up to meet him in the clouds when the trumpet of God sounds, when the sound from heaven goes forth, we shall all be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye will be caught up to meet him in the first. Look at somebody, say the first. The first. I'm out of here on the first, not the second, not the third, but the first train on up to glory. I'm living to be in the first resurrection. Somebody shout yes. Help me preach. Help me preach. Find three people and just ask them, will you be a part of the first resurrection? Just ask them. Are you in the first or the second? How's your faith? Are you going to be a part of the first or the second? I don't know about you, but I'm going to live so that I can be a part of the first resurrection. If that is your faith, your hope, your belief, you ought to stand on your feet and give God some kind of praise right now. Give him a praise. Woo! Where are the women of the resurrection? Where are you? Where are you? Where are the faithful women? Where are the women that have served the... Woo! Yes! Yes! We are leaving this place in the first resurrection of the dead. Somebody give the Lord a praise. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Let me have it. Let me have it. Touch somebody and tell them, don't you miss this train. Don't you miss the first resurrection because you had to stay home and cook. Don't miss the first resurrection because you had clothes to wash, a kitchen to clean, or somebody else to look after. Steady yourself. Make up in your mind, I'm going up to heaven in the first resurrection. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm on the first thing smoking, baby. I'm out of here. I'm on my way to heaven. And I'm so glad. Yes. Where are the women of the resurrection? Where are those that'll be faithful to the end? Well, you will be somebody who commits your life to serving the body of Christ. These women had families. These women had husbands. They had sons, daughters. They were wives to husbands who were entrepreneurs, So the whole weight of the house fell on them. But they made up their mind. We're going to follow Christ until the end. The crucifixion, the women are there. Not Peter, not James, not Matthew, not Luke, the women. When they put his body in Joseph Arimathea's tomb, the Bible said that what? The women stood afar off, taking note where they laid him. Why? They had already, he's dead. He's dead. But yet they went and brought spices. That's being faithful to, when you're faithful to a dead man, they still went and brought spices. He's been dead 2 or 3 days, but yet they what? They came. Why? Because they were faithful to the end. When given the first message, they were what? They shared it. Mary Magdalene went back, told the disciples, he lives. We've seen the tomb. The men didn't believe them. So they went to the tomb themselves. Women of the resurrection. Is that you? Is that you? What about you? You? Will you be part of the first resurrection? My job as your pastor is just to tell you what you got to do. Now it's up to you to do it. Don't let your service end now that Women's Month is over. Don't check out of the ministry now. I done went to 3 things this month. I'm good for 2024. No. Women of the resurrection are faithful to the end. You know a woman of the resurrection. Why? She's always serving. That's the thing I think of when I think of Anita Macy. She was always, always, always serving. She's made up her mind. That's what she was going to do. That's why I believe she's going to be a part of the first resurrection. That's what I believe. That's according to the word of God. She just made up her mind. That's what I'm going to do. She was a mother, wife, grandmother, aunt, sister, friend. But somewhere along life's journey, she chose being part of the resurrection as more important. Not that she gave up her responsibility, she just reprioritized them. I'm going to make God first. Sister Macy, why you do it? Mother Rook, why do it? I believe because they wanted to be part of the first resurrection. I believe they did it so that we would have a modern example to follow. I love Mary Magdalene. I love her story. The Mary, the mother of Jesus, without question. Mary, the mother, James, and John. I love all those women. But they lived back then. They weren't from West Philly. They didn't roll down the creek. That's where I'm from. My parents, 57th and Cedar. I need someone from around here. I need someone I can look at and relate to so that when I make this choice to follow him, when I make this choice to serve the body, I have someone I can look at. Paul had it right. Paul said this to the church. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. You didn't live during his ministry. None of you were there at his crucifixion. He said, and he said, and I wasn't either. But I've seen him. So just follow me. Follow my example. That's why the word of God tells us, older women, teach the younger women. Men, teach your sons so that they can take part in the first resurrection. Do whatever you can to avoid the second resurrection. That's all I can tell you. I can't preach it. I can't hoop it. I can't holler it. Straight and plain language. Do whatever you can to avoid the second death, to avoid the lake of fire, to avoid eternal damnation. That's why I came this morning, to give you the keys. The keys work not only for women, it's the same keys for men. Men, if you be faithful to the end, imagine what our church would be like if all the men just made up their mind, we're going to be faithful, Pastor, to the end. Imagine the trajectory our ministry could take if the men started serving the body of Christ. What would happen to our community and our world if we all started sharing the gospel? This should not be an only Easter occurrence. I was just sharing with him a couple weeks ago. He said, we got to fill the church every Sunday. No reason for a seat to be empty. And this is the urgency of that message. Because if the seats are empty, those folks who are not here are more likely to be part of the second resurrection. And they could have escaped it if you would have just shared the gospel. They could have avoided it if you would just let your light shine and be a light. Be salt. The church no longer wants to be salt. The majority of churches today want to be sugar. Give you something sweet. Something that tastes good and feels good. There's only one way you feel good about this kind of message. If you know for surety that you'll be part of the first resurrection. If you're here today and you're not sure, if you're here today and you haven't accepted Christ, it's your personal safe, this message makes you feel uneasy. That's exactly what it's supposed to do. Why? So that when we come to this point in the message, I say to you, if you want to be part of the first resurrection, it all starts by giving your life to Christ. That's where it begins. That's where the change takes place. Sister Rhea said, I know he lives because he lives within my heart. If you're here this Sunday, and you want to be a part of the first resurrection, he wants you to be a part of the first resurrection. How do I know? He said what? And Peter. He said, I'm bringing Peter. I know what he did. You don't have to tell me. I know what he did. I know what he said. You don't have to tell me. But I still want him to be a part of the first resurrection. When y'all go back and find the boys, make sure you tell Peter. So Peter, I've reserved the spot. The first resurrection. That's why I told you, you study that out, you'll begin to realize that you are Peter. He knows what you did. He knows when you did it. He knows who you did it with. But yet he says, and Peter. Because I got a spot for him. The first resurrection. Are you Peter today? Are you here because Christ is calling you from death to eternal life? This message has found a place in your heart. This message has caused you to make a decision. That's what all good preaching does. Forces you to make a decision. You either live for him or you live against him. No, it's only two ways. It's only two ways. No gray, no third way. It's either for him or against him. If you're Peter this Sunday, will you come? If you're Peter and you want to be a part of the first resurrection, will you come? My job is to preach the resurrection. My job is to tell you that he lives. Now the Holy Spirit has to do the rest. He has to confirm it in your heart. And Peter. That's what he does. That's what he does. That's what he does. And when you come, he'll not only save you, but by your faith, he'll reach down and he'll save those connected to you. This is how you get your family saved. You come. Live the life. Be the example. Then God will use your life, your testimony, and start with, come on, Peter. I know there are other Peters here. Where are you, Peter? Where are you, Peter? This is the whole preaching moment right here. Make a choice today. Pastor, I want to be a part of the first resurrection. That's what I want. That's what I want. That's what I want to be. Pastor, I'm willing to be faithful. Come. If your name is Peter, come. If the Spirit of the Lord is working on you, come. 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 Come now. While the Spirit of the Lord is passing by. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. And Peter. Where are you, Peter? Come. Come now. Come now. If you want to be a part of the first resurrection, come on down. Say, Pastor, here I'm coming. I'm coming. Excuse me. Excuse me. I got to get it. I don't know if I'll make it next Sunday. This is my Sunday. This is my chance to be blessed. This is the chance for my family to be blessed. Come on, Peter. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, come on, come on. Good God, hallelujah, hallelujah. Good God, help me, help me, help me, help me, Holy Ghost. Woo! Yes, yes, he's calling Peter. Come on, Peter. It's not over. I've got a place for you. I've got an assignment for you. That's why I didn't let the devil kill you. That's why I didn't let the world take you under. I want you in the first resurrection of the dead. Come on. 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 I'm coming to Jesus. Here am I, Pastor. Where are you? 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 said, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Where are the women of the resurrection? Where are the women that will be faithful? Where are the women that will serve the body of Christ? Where are the women that will tell their testimony? Lay claim to the first resurrection. Woo! Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh. Fall fresh. Glory to God. Glory to God. Said, I'm going to do a new thing. Going to do a new thing. He's going to do a new thing. Receive. Receive. Come on, Peter. Come on, Peter. Don't let this chance pass you by. Come on. Come on. Come on. That's who he was waiting for. He told me Peter would be at church this Sunday. He said, yeah, I got a special message for you, Pastor. I'm going to send Peter to your church. I'm going to send Peter to your house. I want them to be a part of the first resurrection. That's what I want. That's what I want. I need someone to preach the gospel. I need somebody to tell the truth concerning Jesus Christ. Why? I'm sending Peter to your church. Good God, help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me to receive Jesus. Somebody teach me how to pray. Somebody teach me how to seek the Lord. Somebody teach me how to live right. Somebody teach me how to love him. Somebody teach me how to be an example. Teach me how to be a light. Teach me how to be salt. Teach me. My name is Peter. Pastor, you don't know. Pastor, you don't know where I've been. Pastor, you don't know the stuff I've done, things I've said. Pastor, you don't know the people I've hurt. You don't know the damage I've caused. And all I'm here to tell you is that today your name is Peter. And he called the women of the resurrection to come and get you. Because he has an assignment for you. He has a place for you in the kingdom. He wants you to be a part of the first resurrection. There's still room. There's still opportunities for you to come. Sister Barbara's mother-in-law used to sing that song. There's still room at the cross. Though millions have come, there's still room. Why? Because he's waiting on Peter. Until Peter comes, there'll be room. Yeah, receive, 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 receive. Let the Lord do a new work. Let the Lord do it. Let the Lord do it. Let the Lord do it. Fresh oil. Fresh anointing. Yes. Yes. I want to be part of the first resurrection. Fill me, Lord. Fill my cup. Let it overflow. Woo! Today, 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 today he lives. How do you know he lives? He lives inside of me. Yes. Yes. Turn it up, fellas. It's time to give the Lord a praise. Oh, my goodness. Yes. Where are the women of the resurrection? If you believe in Jesus this Sunday, and you've made a choice for him to be your Savior, it's time to give the Lord a praise. It's time to give your God the highest praise. Come on, women of the resurrection. It's time. Lead us in worship. Lead us in praise. It's time to lift the name of the Lord our God. Come on, church. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Don't quit. Be faithful till the end. Come on, Taylor. Give the Lord a praise. Yes. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes. Feel her. Feel her, Holy Ghost. Feel her right now. Feel the young men. Feel the young boys. Yes. Yes. Yes again. Woo. Yes, Lord. 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 Oh, my God. Hallelujah to the Lord. Oh, my goodness. My, 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 my. Won't he do it? Oh, my goodness. Come on, all the women, give the Lord a praise. Come on, women. Women everywhere, come on, give the Lord a real praise. Yes. Yes. Come on, men. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I want to be a part of that first resurrection. Yes, I do. 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 God bless you, Taylor. Thank God for all of the Peters that came to church this Sunday. Sister Barbara and Sister Keisha, let's make sure we have all of their contact information, because I want to call them personally. Personally. That's my assignment today. Preaching was just one part of it. He said, but once Peter comes, so you call him. Don't assign it to anyone else. So if you're okay, give your contact information. The ushers are coming. The pastor's going to call you. And don't be surprised when I call you if I say, hello, may I speak to Peter? You done heard the message today, so you know your real name in the spirit now. But thank God for you. Thank God for you because it takes courage to accept Jesus. That's why many people don't. It's not that they don't believe him. They don't have the courage. Because to accept Jesus, you got to admit you're different. We live in a world where everybody just wants to be in the crowd. Nobody wants to stand out. Only time people want to stand out is if they can get paid for it. And I'm telling you that if you want to be part of the first resurrection, this is what it's going to cost you right here. This is what you will be paid right here. And as a result, a lot of people don't come. A lot of people feel the Holy Spirit calling them, but they won't respond. These women had courage. Who rolled that stone away? The other night when we watched, it took a large number of men to get that stone there. Who moved it? It's only in movies do folks go to a haunted house and still go in. In real life, if a house looked crazy, I don't know about you, but I turn right around. I'm not going in there. It looks crazy from the outside. But it takes courage to go. It takes courage to go, especially when you're the first in your family to go. It's different if your father's already saved. It's different if your mother's already saved. You're just doing with it. But when there's nobody else in your house that is saved, there's no one else in your house when you get up on Sunday morning and they say, where are you going? Oh, I'm going to church. Why? What are you going there for? Because Christ saved my soul. Got to be willing to share the gospel message. So I went one Sunday. I didn't want nothing. I didn't mean nothing. But God spoke to me. He gave me the courage to accept him. The courage to believe him. So I applaud each and every one of you who came. I know about that walk. Years ago, I made the same walk myself. It takes courage to do it. So the Lord bless you. Let me get out of here. I know you got a ham in the oven. Many of you got roast beef. The fancy of us have the old juice sauce. You don't have old juice sauce, you just make a little gravy and act like it's old juice sauce. So don't let it be said that the pastor stood between me and mac and cheese and me and collard greens, me and string beans. Jermaine's pulling on me. I will note that no one invited Jermaine or I or my kids. No one said, Pastor, I know you're going to be tired after you're preaching. Just come get a plate. Just let us be a blessing. I'm trying to make somebody feel guilty, but this ain't the right crowd. Hey, look, God bless you, Taylor. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep your servants back into the hands of the First Lady. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. What a word. Women of the resurrection. Hallelujah. Yes. Women of the resurrection, but what I really love about that word is that it was for each and every one of us. Hallelujah. If you have a prayer request and you weren't able to write it down during the service, you can visit our website at www.taylortabernacle.com. You can also find our prayer request page, or you can call out church at 215-748-4578. 78, and you can leave us a message. John Mitchell, you can give us just a little bit of upbeat music because we're about to transition to our time of giving. And then following that, we will have announcements by Sister Lynn Rossiter. Amen. Can I get a hand clap? Giving, giving. I don't have the same intro as Barb does for giving, but yeah, you can give a little hand clap for giving. Now I have Deacon Lillian Jones down for giving, but I think she's been late. So at this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, you can give through one of five ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, Venmo, Cash App, or also by using the U.S. Postal Mail Service. If you are worshiping with us virtually online, that information should be up on the screen right now. But to give by text message, text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256, and you'll receive a link with instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow those instructions. To give by the U.S. mail, please send your check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. If you would like to Venmo, you can Venmo at Taylor-Tabernacle-6309. You can also give by Cash App, $ Taylor Tabernacle. For those gathered with us in the sanctuary today, you'll find two offering baskets on the side ramp door, one for your tithes and offerings, and one for the preacher. Please place your sealed envelopes in the baskets as you exit the sanctuary. You may also give an offering to our pastor who gave a mighty word this morning. You can give via Cash App or via Venmo. Cash App, $ Pastor Jonathan Ford, or if you choose Venmo, it's at Jonathan-Ford-25. And as always, we thank you for your continued support of this ministry. Amen, amen, amen. I'm going to ask Sister Lynn Rossiter to come up and to give us our announcements.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. So starting next Sunday, April 7th, Pastor Ford begins a month-long sermon series entitled Life in God's Garden. And that's going to kick it off for the beginning of the actual garden outside. After church on April 7th, David is going to meet up with the men who are leading the planting of one bed in the garden on the 14th. He'll briefly share what will go in that bed and how to plant it so that they can lead others who come out to help plant in the garden on the 14th. We're trying to make the planting go smoothly and quickly. So, and we still need 2 to 3 more volunteers. So it looks like Pastor Ford wants men to lead the beds, the planting of the beds. On Wednesday, April 10th, we have guest speaker Chris Bolden Newsom from Sankofa Farm. He's going to join us for Bible study on the 10th. On Sunday, April 14th, that's where we need everybody's help planting new seeds in the garden following morning service. So Pastor says dress appropriately because we'll head out right after service. We'll also have seedlings available for purchase for your home garden, and lunch will be provided. Bring the food and the people will come. On Wednesday, April 24th, we have guest speaker Reverend Carolyn Cavaness from Bethel AME who will join us for Bible study. Both of these folks will be following the lead from Pastor on Life in God's Garden. On Saturday, April 27th, Turning the Tide is doing their Lunch and Learn presentation for adult literacy, digital literacy, employee assistance, and more. This event will take place at Christ of Calvary Church, 500 South 61st Street, and it'll be from 10 a.m. to noon. Lunch will be provided. Pastor Ford is asking everyone to give $100 to Turning the Tide during the month of April during our Sunday offering collection or via the link below on the turningthetidephilly.org website. And that's turningthetidephilly.org/donate-now. And just a little teaser, our first garden class of the season will be Sunday, June 9th. And we'll be welcoming back Sherry Jane, who is the vegan chef who did the demo. So we'll be, she'll be feeding us wonderful food. If you remember that from last year, it was absolutely amazing. I think she came back and catered an event. But she'll be doing a vegan cooking demo along with a tasting. Thank you.
Thank you for the announcement. One thing I want to say, was just notified that if you are trying to give today via Cash App, our Cash App is not working. Okay, I know. So I need you to do two things. One, you must cancel your Cash App submission. Okay? We can't cancel it on the back end because unfortunately the system is down. Okay? So that's not, if you give by Cash App, whether to the church, whether to the pastor, I need you to cancel it. And then I'm going to ask you for this Sunday to give via Venmo. Venmo appears to be working. Okay? So if you want to give electronically, no Cash App today, but give via Venmo. And then obviously if you want to use the offering baskets, feel free to do so. Okay? Good. Thank you for your patience in that regard. Before we close out today, I do want to share with you, as many of you may know by now, the passing of our mother, Barbara Rook. She went home to be with the Lord, and her homegoing service is taking place tomorrow morning. So for all of you that are able to come, positioned to come, her celebration of life will be on Monday, April 1st, which is tomorrow. It's taking place at the Salt and Light Church, 5736 Chester Avenue, not far from here. The viewing begins at 9. The service begins at 10 a.m. So if you're able to come, I'm going to ask that you come. If you're not able to come, I'm going to ask that you pray for the family, right? Pray for Christina, a granddaughter. Pray for Sister Lillian, a daughter-in-law. Brandon, all those connected to the Rooks family. Let's keep them in prayer. Let's keep her son in prayer. It's a hard thing as a son to bury your mother. So let's keep him in prayer. So if you can't come tonight, pray for him. Tomorrow, pray for him. Throughout the week, pray for them. Many of us are familiar of what it's like to lose a mother, a matriarch in your family. What a loss it will be to our church. Amen. So again, you have the announcement. Have it on the big board. It'll also be going out in our email communication. Again, if you can, we'd love to see you there on tomorrow. Amen. It would normally be our custom, especially on an Easter Sunday, for my wife and I to come down and anchor the receiving line so we can love on you all before you head home and make your way out to your various places. But this Sunday, in our place, we have some newlyweds who are going to come and take place, my place, Jermaine's place, in the receiving line. So as you stand to your feet, just want to give you an opportunity to celebrate Mr. and Mrs. Emmanuel DeSources. I'm going to ask them to come. I'm going to ask them to come. They're coming. The boys are coming. They're going to be here in the receiving line. I'm just asking everybody, after the benediction, before you leave, Just come and love on them, love on their boys. I'm so proud of them. They did it the right way. They had premarital counseling. They did the hard work. They're doing everything they can to bring their life and their marriage under the banner of Jesus Christ. And so they're going to be in the receiving line. Jermaine and I, we're going to be floating around. But before you leave, just love on them, encourage them, hug on the boys, encourage them, and then we'll get together all on next Sunday. Amen. Everybody in good shape? Everybody ready to get home to that ham and roast beef? Yes, Lord. Shall we all stand? Thank God for all of our visitors, all of our visitors who have come. Thank God for you, those that came to the altar. Thank God for you. Make sure I see you before you leave. Just shake my hand. And again, I'll be calling you this week. I'll be calling you this week, this week. Thank you for coming. All of our guests, friends, visitors, everybody. Thank God. All of our cancer survivors, thank you for coming this Sunday. Didn't even know we had cancer survivors in the church. Thank God for you. Now unto him who alone is able to present us faultless before the heavenly Father and his host of angels. Sanctify us now. Purify and cleanse our heart even now. Cover us once again with your shed blood. And cause all the filthiness of sin to be covered by the brightness of the white robes in glory. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we have a hope this Sunday. And that hope is that when you come again as the first fruit of the resurrection, those that have died in Christ, those that remain will be caught up to meet you in the air and forever live with you. So until that hope is realized in each and all of us, until we lay hold to that which is laid hold to us, keep us by your power, sustain us by the word of your truth, and cause us to be light in this dark world for you. This is our prayer. We ask it in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. All of God's people say amen. Amen. Amen again. Come on, give God the best praise. Come on, give him your best praise. God bless you, Taylor. Happy Easter to you.